adrenaline. Starting lineups to starting grids. Gridiron to Grand Prix. Get laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, 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 welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Fast laps once again. Obviously, I'm Smelty. Next to me today is Joe. Joe, what's going on?
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. We're happy to be here. Well, hey, sometimes there's nothing else to be said. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so across the table from me, Tyler, what's popping?
What's happening? Glad we got another race this weekend. 2 weeks is too long.
No doubt. No, it did feel like it took forever for this. I kept thinking we had a show and we did not. So I didn't know what to do with my typical Tuesday. Cool. Typical Tuesday. How's your week been, buddy?
Typical Tuesday, man. Not too bad. You know, we're getting some rain today. Don't love it. Hey, don't hate it either, right?
Honestly, I love it. I love it because it gives me a break and a day to catch up, to be honest. Working in a seasonal field up here in Minnesota. What I would also love is if Gunter bought a stake in an F1 team, that would be wild, but we might touch on that later. I'm just rolling right into the Japanese recap, pun intended. Anyway, that was lame. But the podium, obviously old Maxwell on the podium, followed by Checo and Sainz, not super eventful. So I guess let's kind of just start off with talking about that top 10. Joe, you got a couple facts there about Max and his win here.
Yeah, 3,000 career laps led. That's a big number, and it's only going to grow throughout the year. 4,000 next year. No, 4,000 probably in 2 years. He's led a lot of laps. This is his third consecutive Japan win. Yeah, it's more of the same, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, straight dominance. I mean, obviously Red Bulls followed by the Ferraris. Are we that surprised by that?
No, it's pretty straightforward. I think it's kind of what we expected. I know a lot of us had both the Ferraris in the top. Checo had a pretty good race, right? But speaking to your point there, how many laps is Hamilton at? Isn't he at like 6,000? Isn't he at like double of what
Holy
Max is
cow.
Though?
Is he really?
I thought it was something that was a lot more.
That fact is inbound, by the way.
Yeah.
We got a couple people crunching it.
We have analysts in the background right now just slamming numbers
just
for
slamming
us.
Around.
Okay, I got the numbers.
Oh, here it is.
So, down the line, you're right. Lewis with 5,455, and then it's Schumacher with 5,111, and then it's Vettel with 3,500, and then Max with 3,000. So he's still got a bit to go to get up there.
He's definitely going
to
pass Vettel at least.
Oh, he's going to pass
You'd
Vettel
imagine
no matter what.
He'll make it to that 5,000 as well at least.
But will the Red Bull be good enough in 2026 to get him up to 6,000 past anyone else has?
That's a question. If you're Cole, you're going to be like, absolutely not.
Well, I mean, I think the big thing too is it kind of just shows, really, it shows Hamilton's dominance. Like, I think we kind of overshadowed that the last couple of years because he hasn't been as dominant. Obviously, he doesn't have the car and everything, but it kind of shows his dominance, even with McLaren pulling out the championship. Like, he's been a dog for a while, and obviously, 3,000 seems like a ton, but to be, like, half of Hamilton, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think Max's dominance right now might outweigh Lewis's dominance in his peak. So if Max were to get, this is, I'm knocking on wood here. If Max were to get 6 championships in a row, you know, he's getting that 6,000 easy.
Especially in the, like there's an asterisk with the 3 of the top 4 because we're in the new age of 20 plus race seasons. You know, Niki Lauda didn't get that luxury. Ayrton Senna didn't get that luxury. So it's like, you know, it's for Max to be already 4th all time with 3 drivers' championships. Like, it's pure dominance. Don't get me wrong. It's obviously him dominating, but it's just like you're not going to get even Schumacher in the early 90s. You know, they didn't have those 2024 race seasons for them to accumulate all that.
The thing that kind of sucks, too, is even if Max blows past, like, I love that point. I wasn't even thinking of that. But, if Max blows past Hamilton, it's still going to be in the back of the mind. Like, okay, you know, it's like when they change the rules in the NFL, right? They always go back to that. It's going to be that same thing with Hamilton. No, Hamilton did it with this. You know, it's like the Jordan LeBron debate right now.
And does that take anything away from what they're accomplishing, though? You know what I mean? Like, it is kind of that like Jordan LeBron Kobe deal, blah blah blah, whatever it is. It's just a different era. They're the best of their era. I think that's kind of what it becomes at that point. I mean, obviously Lewis was dominant as heck, but is it as impressive as a Schumacher with that point that you brought up, Tyler? Like, I guess no, right?
I don't think so, especially with Schumacher. If you look at the level of competition that Michael Schumacher was racing year in and year out, you know, it was, in my opinion, I guess, a lot more than what even Lewis had, what Max currently has. Like, at the end of the day, there's, like, maybe 3-4 drivers on the grid right now that you could feasibly see actually winning a race, right?
What if they were on similar car? We brought that up before. I know, and it's kind of pointless to even bring up. But
that was
if
the
they
thing
were.
About the 90s is the cars were more similar.
Sure.
Right? You obviously still had the advantages in the grand scheme of things, but the cars were more similar, so it did come down to actual racing level and pure skill. But, like, what Schumacher did, it's just simply incredible. Not that it's not for Lewis, and, you know, Max is going to get to at least 5 championships. It's just simple fact of the matter at this point. But it's crazy because Lewis even did it in the era where they had it's like the hybrid era, whatever it was, where they made the switches and then Mercedes was just on top every year. That car was second to none. Valtteri Bottas was finishing second most of those times too. You know, where Red Bull last year was the first time Checo finished like Max had a number two.
But I think another thing about Hamilton is the one thing he'll always have over Lewis if we're doing the Jordan LeBron debate. He won in the McLaren.
Hold on, you said Lewis. One thing about Lewis you have over Hamilton.
Oh, sorry. One thing that Lewis has over Max is like the Jordan LeBron debate is that Lewis won in a McLaren. You know, if Max keeps his dominance, great. But if he keeps it in this car, cool.
But is it? Are you comparing just Max and Lewis now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but like even with that, to kind of bounce back on your point, I mean, have you guys seen the movie Rush?
Yeah.
No.
It's a great F1 movie. It's about Niki Lauda.
Oh, I've heard about this movie.
But like that kind of ties into your point. It was like drivers going at each other because their cars were pretty similar, but it was like, okay, who's the best driver?
Yeah, it came down to just the ultimate skill and determination back in those days. Like those cars were the least safe thing in the world.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're not trying to discredit Lewis or Max's skill. I mean, it's evident every race still. Lewis may, you know, some of his passes are insane or whatever it may be, even though his car's not a rocket ship.
And they're both completely different drivers, right? Lewis is going to win on, like, strategy, and he's going to get the cleanest line, and he's going to get the cleanest laps, where Max is going to bring out the elbows. He gets a lot of his moves from a sheer intimidation factor because that other driver knows Verstappen ain't giving up.
He's not letting up.
But don't you guys kind of hate watching it, like, where...
When they just give up like that?
Yeah, I hate when they just let him pass. Like, even this happened a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was...
Is that a team order, you think? If Max is in the vicinity, like, let him have it?
What I'm thinking about is Alonso a couple weeks ago. Like, he's arguably, like, if anybody's going to keep you behind him, it's Alonso. He's amazing on defense.
Definitely.
And he just let the guy... I think, I don't know if it was Checo or Max, but he just let him go walk right by him. And that's so
frustrating. It was the first race of the year.
If it was Checo, it would make sense, but... Oh, you're saying, okay, my bad. I thought about that from the wrong way.
It's like almost frustrating to watch because
you're just giving up.
And like, if there's a fight to happen, Alonso's going to be able to bring it to you.
Yeah.
Even in a slower car.
Exactly.
No, I mean, it's a great point. I just want to make sure we're not taking away from Max and Lewis. They're so skilled, but I think at the moment, you know, because of those less races, we do got to look at Schumacher still as the king. And that short tangent right there we just went on. But it was worth it. Looking again at that top 10 from Japan, Lando finishing 5th, almost a full 15 seconds in front of Alonso. Is that kind of what we're expecting at this point in the season for McLaren? Is that going to be hopefully become the norm that they can beat out Alonso? I'm not going to say Aston as a whole because Stroll, but at least beat out Alonso. Is that what McLaren is looking for? They want that. That 5-6 at least locked in, if not battle for 3-4.
I mean, they definitely want to battle for 3-4, 100%. But I think at this time in the season, they're outpacing Aston Martin and fighting with Alonso in certain situations.
Yeah, if it wasn't Alonso and that Aston Martin, we wouldn't be like
it wouldn't be a conversation. Alonso. That's what I mean. Like
he's battling. Right. So it's not necessarily like Mercedes versus Aston. It's McLaren versus Aston. It's Alonso. McLaren versus Alonso. It doesn't matter what car he's in.
100%.
Maybe not the Alpine. I don't think he'd be giving much of a battle in that Alpine right now. But
oh my God.
Again, it just gives more, like, just kind of backs the points, you know, around Alonso. He's just a dog. Like,
yeah.
Like, fight a Red Bull, Alonso.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously, you got George Russell coming in at 7. I mean, a decent run from George. I don't really have anything to say on that at all. Moving right along, Piastri at 8. I mean, at least he's in points.
I'm surprised by that. I figured that the McLaren just looks so much better than the Mercedes right now. I really thought that both McLarens were going to be above the Mercedes.
I have to almost give that point almost fully to Fernando. If he wasn't defending like he does against Piastri, I don't think George would have caught him like that.
Mm.
He pushed him back into George fully.
Mm. Okay.
Japan looks a lot like, I mean, just from like, if you're just looking at the track, you don't really know much about it. You haven't raced it in the F1 game. Like, it looks a lot like it's just an easy, fast track. It's so technical. Like, if you've ever raced in the F1 game, even those big, windy turns, it's like, okay, I'm in second gear right now. I should be in fourth. Like, that's what the guys are doing that are flying through. So, especially, like, a lot of these guys, I think it's actually a pretty good position for Piastri because a lot of the guys above him have that experience there, and they know how to really maximize those turns in that track especially.
So, that's interesting. You have played it on the game, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When I did last week, and of course, I want to, you know, I didn't play China coming up, but oh well. But when I played Japan, I noticed how little opportunities you have to actually make a pass, you know?
There's only one DRS zone.
It's definitely a really like fast, tight, like you said, technical is probably the best word for it, track. Tyler, have you raced it on the game as well?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's definitely tight. I mean, it's technical.
Not that we're pros,
it's not tight,
right?
But yeah, it's really technical. I mean, there's not a lot of opportunity to pass. Like, there's only one DRS zone. You don't see that often. And that's really, modern day F1, you're passing under DRS. You're not getting a slipstream and getting that corner very often anymore. Right. It just doesn't happen. So it's like, without DRS, you're not going to see a lot of passing unless you are a Red Bull who didn't have to pass at all because they started 1-2, where it's, that's the only passing you're going to see if the Red Bull starts. If Checo starts 7th or 8th, he's going to work his way up to 3rd or 2nd, you know? So it's okay, the Red Bull's going.
I think it's a win definitely for McLaren. I mean, they're not really, they're pretty much in 3rd by themselves, right? I mean, I think Mercedes just dropped pretty far back, right?
Yeah, it's like,
I would think so.
Points.
We're actually going to give an update.
35 points, yeah.
But
just around that with McLaren, I mean, Piastri just getting points, getting 8th, I think, in that track. I think it's still a big win. I think it's still a big win for Piastri. It's a huge win for Lando, I think, getting 5th. But
I don't think so, because it's like you expect the McLaren to be there. It's the 3rd fastest car on the grid, so that the 5th, 6th is where you really would expect him to be.
I think it's just Joe said, it's just a Fernando effect, though. I think Piastri finishing up there, it's a win. He finished above Lewis, you know. It's just a huge win.
He still beat the Mercedes. Yeah. There is that. And it isn't 9th, so there's also that, right? But with that, 9th Lewis, just again, George and Lewis, 7-9 for Mercedes, just kind of a disappointment for them, I would imagine. And heading into this week, as we'll touch on later, I don't think it's looking really any better. Have they came out with any updates? Does anybody know anything special they're bringing new to the table?
I haven't read any news, but all the news headlines I've seen have not looked great. Mercedes. So.
That seems to be the general consensus every week right now. Maybe just looking forward to those new regulations. And then Yuki. Yuki getting, is it a point for 10th?
Yep.
A point at his home track. How cool is that?
So cool.
It's so awesome. It's awesome to see Yuki do that.
It was a great drive too.
Mm-hmm.
Mega job.
It was like 4th place with Piastri in Australia. Like it's right there, but it's still awesome to see it, you know, the hometown doing it like that.
It was really cool to see.
If only Sargeant can do something like that when he comes back to the States.
You never know, dude. Yeah. We could get a 9-car pileup. He just has to beat all one pile.
He's causing that pileup, let's be honest.
But yeah, I mean, that's only if Stroll's on a wrecking ball that weekend.
It's only if Stroll has the best qualifying of his life.
Is that how we're going to get the pileup, is Stroll? He's the cause?
Yeah, well, if it's not Logan, I mean, there's only one other feasible option.
Well, no. Logan's got to win, so it's got to be Stroll then.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they got to work together.
Logan's not winning. He might grab a 10th if there's 9 cars out.
I think me and my friends were making this joke earlier about how that would be like the scenario is like either Stroll or Logan crash out Max. And I'm like, they're never going to get to Max. Max is going to have to lap
him.
Yeah, he's going to have to lap him.
They can't even get there. Well, speaking of crashing, obviously right off the bat, we had Ricardo and Alex. allegedly looked like a racing incident. What did you guys see on that one?
He pushed him out, right? Like he didn't allow the line for him to come up around the outside.
I think this is completely on Daniel. I don't think he saw him, and he was trying to get to that line going into the corner. Because Daniel was more focused on Lance coming on the inside, and you could see Daniel actually looking at that inside mirror, and he didn't look at that outside mirror when he was going out, and Albon's in a spot where he can only go one spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You just got to give up the space. There's no penalties, though, right?
No. They completely said it was a racing incident. And I kind of agree, but if someone had to take blame, it would be Danny, for sure.
It's just an honest mistake.
I mean, was anybody directly behind Albon at that moment? I can't remember. Could he have tried to check up? I mean, obviously it happened so fast that Daniel just went outside to avoid that, but like...
Could you check up there? Yeah, but you have the line, right? You're gaining two positions by doing that because you're passing Danny and Stroll.
Yeah, you're
going into that corner
for sure.
And it's balls to the wall. Start of the race.
You got to get as many as you can, especially like we were saying how technical it is. Get as many as you can as fast as you can right away before everything spreads out. You know?
Especially in that Williams. The Williams is not a slow car, and Albon's a great racer. I think if he takes those two spots, you'll see him in the points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Moving right along. Joe, I know you saw maybe a couple of different things about Charles maybe having a different pit strategy. You touch on that at all?
Yeah, sure. I think, and not even really just like what I saw after the race, just during the race, he definitely had the longest stint out of everyone. He was on those tires for way longer. He was managing.
What was he on? I can't remember. Were they mediums?
I think they were mediums. Yeah. So he was on mediums for a while. There were people pitting around him. He was in first. He was just leading laps just because he hadn't pitted. Going from eighth to fourth, finishing off is amazing. Yeah. Managed way better than everyone else. I think, definitely says something. He had a few moments that I guess maybe detract a little bit, but knowing that he was on such old tires, that kind of helps him out too.
Sure.
Yeah, his ability to manage the tires in this race was just absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was incredible. Nobody was being able to do that, and he was out there 10 laps past where everybody else was throwing the hards on.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Like, what an incredible strategy, and that's not something you hear often from that red Ferrari.
No, yeah, definitely not. And it earned him driver of the day, too, so everyone
more than deserving. Did it good, mm-hmm. good, because he was putting down some good laps, too, with those old tires yet. That's the thing. So we have to mention it. We already talked about Logan Sargeant. Obviously we're here in the U.S., so we mentioned the not hometown, but home country folks. Obviously, Haas team not in points this week. Not necessarily a disappointment, but Hülkenberg finished 11th. He was right there, ready for points, but to no alas. So obviously we hope, at least I don't know, I hope to see Haas perform better. Gunther seems to have something coming out every week about some little blurb about wanting to be better than them in some form or faction in his next adventure, but...
I love that guy.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's... we'll just take a quick sec and we'll go into season standings update for you and constructors. Welcome back. Of course, we're going to head right into the season standings, the championship driver standings. And to do that, we have our boy Hans. I'm sorry... Tyler, allegedly he said his nickname was Hans while we were just off right there. So whatever's going on there, whatever, take it away, homie.
All right. So going into the driver's standings, as we all know and expect, we got Verstappen kind of running away with it right now, but really not really. I thought it would be a lot farther gap than it is right now with Verstappen at 77 points with Checo at 64. So there's only a 13-point difference there.
That DNF, dude.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
That was
DNF.
Pretty big.
That's no points. That's huge. And then, right now it's just the battle of the top three. You got Leclerc and Sainz fighting it out for third there. There's a 4-point difference. And then the McLarens going at it as well with Oscar and Lando having a 5-point difference. Obviously, Lando in front there. Then he pops down into seventh with George Russell. Then we have Fernando, Lewis, and Stroll rounding out the top 10. And then Yuki on the board with 7 points on the year. And Ali Bearman in 12th place on the year right now with 6 points, which is just absolutely incredible that he is still probably going to finish higher than maybe 5 or 6 drivers on the grid this year, only having one race. So I really hope that cat gets a seat next year.
He could probably finish ahead of the only other two drivers that have points right now. which are the both Haas drivers.
Very feasible.
There's a real possibility of that.
Yeah, like, I mean, let's be honest. He'll probably finish in front of both Alpines, both Saubers, at Logan Sargeant, maybe even Albon, because the Williams just doesn't look good. And both Haases, he could feasibly finish
right
in 12th or 13th.
Right,
yeah, I expect Danny Ric to eventually pick it up. Hopefully he gets in at least 10 points, but I don't know at this point. And then, as Smeltsy just mentioned, we have the two Haas drivers, Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen, with the only two drivers, or two other drivers with points, with Nico having three and K-Mag with one. There's really no surprises on this. You know, Danny Ric not having any points is a little bit surprising to me going into the year. Albon not even being close to points this year, a little bit surprising. But other than that, it's kind of as expected. The biggest surprise, I guess, in my opinion, would be it's only a 13-point gap between Verstappen and Checo.
I was actually pretty surprised, too, about Hamilton only being at 10. I guess, looking back in the season, I didn't realize he did that bad.
Another DNF.
True.
Oh, that's right.
Still, 14 that's behind right. Alonso in the Aston, it's tough.
Yeah, that's
tough.
Wild.
And Stroll's only one behind you?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, Lewis tough is look. Not... Lewis
the
is,
car hasn't been... Him and... Lewis and the car haven't meshed well at all this season.
That's the thing, because you even look at Russell, he's only 14 points back at Russell. So is that car is just not anywhere close to where it needs to be. And George is driving that car far better than Lewis at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the year here, obviously, I think Hamilton's top six, top seven. I'll throw it out there right now.
Especially after finishing second last year.
Well, I was going to say third,
after
last season, didn't Lewis kind of start figuring it out towards the end and start finishing a little bit better? So I'm
it was
kind
after
of,
the season break, the mid-season break, yeah. He kind of turned it over and then was like, oh, okay, I can actually drive a car.
Yeah, I'm not, like, expecting that again, but kind of from a guy that we could consider a quote-unquote living legend right now who's still racing. I think that's a good cut. You think top seven or top six?
I'm going to say top seven.
Top seven, okay.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, I could feasibly see this ending in pretty much the exact same order. Maybe Lewis moving up a couple spots, but, I mean, that Aston, what Alonso's doing in that Aston looks far better than what that Mercedes and either of the two drivers there are doing. And the Mercedes is a better car than that Aston at this point.
No, for sure, but again, the driver.
Yeah.
Which leads into another thing that we'll talk about later with Alonso, which was a surprise. Kind of, not really, but we'll get into it. Let's just head right into the constructor standings then. Also, obviously, I know not a lot of people care about the championship driver standings probably right now, but obviously we do, so we're just going to give it to you anyway. So we're going to give you that constructors as well. So Cole's got that for us.
Yeah, so no surprise at first here with Red Bull. 141, Ferrari at 120. Another DNF at a Red Bull. I mean, maybe we see Ferrari climb up. I would love to see it. We got McLaren in third, Mercedes in fourth. Aston in fifth, Racing Bull Honda at seven, and Haas at Ferrari at four. And then Williams, Kick Sauber, and Alpine all rounding out with zero, eight through 10th. There are big things that's popping out here, obviously, with Haas. I mean, thank God for a Yuki as far as Racing Bull. But, I mean, Haas with four, I mean, it'd be pretty awesome to see them, you know, get seventh. I don't think they've ever done that since they've been around. It's kind of tough to see it without Gunther being behind the helm. Aston, I think we're going to see Mercedes and McLaren. That's going to be the big fight at the end of the year. And hopefully Ferrari can bring it to Red Bull at the end of the year here too.
That's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm curious if, God forbid, we get one more DNF from a Red Bull and not any from the Ferraris. Can they catch Red Bull? Is it realistic? But until somebody like challenges Max, it feels not realistic.
But I feel like
it's
not
like a fantasy world.
I feel like it's not even challenging Max. I feel like the big thing we want to see here is two threes out of Ferrari. Two threes out of Ferrari consistently, I think we're going to be okay. If you're a Ferrari fan, you're going to be happy with that. You're just going to be chipping away, I think.
They have to get a couple wins in there, though, too, though. Like, you have to throw in three, four wins the rest of the year between the two drivers. And, to me, it just comes down to Checo. It's how consistent is Checo going to be? Because he's looked pretty darn good this year.
And this was a really good bounce-back race for him. That leads into it. Why wouldn't they re-sign him unless they have somebody ready to go already? He's making a good case to stay one more year.
It's crazy that he's not even in the talks either. Nobody's talking about Checo coming back. It's all who's going to replace Checo.
Everybody's assuming he's gone, but if he's not, why? Who else are you going to put in there? And we've talked about that, but like Carlos, who you know?
So I think I want to jump in and get your guys' opinion on two different fights here, Haas and Racing Bull. What are your guys' thoughts there? I mean, I don't think Haas can do it. It'd be pretty cool to see him go six. Obviously, we have a lot of Haas fans in here, a lot of guys that like Gunther. But, I mean, do you think they can pull it off? Or do you think, obviously, I hope we see Ricardo jumping back up and getting points. I think Racing Bull might run away with it. But do we see anybody have Haas taking that spot in six?
I think we got to see what Ricardo does. I think he hasn't done enough yet. And we'll just see whether it's car, driver, combination of both, whatever it may be. Before we could like make that guess or assumption, but I'd like to think that Haas could beat him out 100%. I mean, Nico looked at if not getting a ton of points, he looked consistent so far this season. I mean, he's consistently battling at least for that one point, probably against Yuki and Daniel. Who knows? Maybe they could just chip away at it as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, that's Haas's ceiling. 10th is Haas's ceiling. 10th is Racing Bull's ceiling. They're like, you can't right expect there. More than that at this point, yeah. Right? So, and I mean, it's only a 3-point difference. That's three of the next six races, K-Mag or Hulk finishing above Yuki. Because that's what it comes down to at this point. Unless Danny Rick figures it out, K-Mag and Hulk have been very, very, very consistent. They're in that 10th through 13th, 14th every race.
Pretty much every race.
Yuki's in that 10th through 14th every race. Danny's consistently 13th to 16th every race right
no
now.
No doubt.
Right. So it's like Haas has been more consistent. Yuki had that, you know, that eighth place finish that gave him those 6 points that one race or whatever it was that, you know, kind of popped him up there. So it's going to be a fun race to see, though, or fun fight between it, shall I say.
I think the fluke there is Aston that close to Mercedes. I think Mercedes will run away with that here at the end of the year. I think Aston's pretty locked in at the fifth spot, but I mean, 34 to 69 with McLaren and Mercedes. I think Mercedes brings it to him. I think it's a fight the last three races of the year. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
You think Mercedes brings it to McLaren?
Yes, I think it's a fight the last three races of the year. That's where all our eyes are.
No way. I don't think so, because I think McLaren's finally going to start being more consistent themselves. And they've already shown it a little bit already early this season. They're going to keep coming out with upgrades just like everybody else. And I think this is the first time in a minute. I mean, when was the last time McLaren finished above Mercedes? Did they last year?
No. Mercedes finished two last year.
So, like, I think we could see it. I think it will be a battle towards the end. I do think that, but I think McLaren will edge them out.
I think the biggest telltale sign there is, obviously, we just talked about the driver standings there. Hamilton with only 10 points. I mean, that's not where he's going to finish. He's not going to finish in ninth. He's going to climb up a lot. He's going to get a lot more points. And I think that's, you know, that's why I said 7-6, because I think he might be able to edge out a couple McLaren.
I think that's a fair point. And kind of going back to what you said during driver standings, Mercedes has two drivers that are getting them points. There's only Alonso. Alonso can do a lot. I'm sure he can defend both of them, but he's one man. Stroll's not getting points to help out Aston Martin. That's what I'm saying in terms of
we were talking about Mercedes versus McLaren. Mercedes, at the end of the year.
And I'm saying Mercedes, I think you're right. They're going to start pulling away from Aston Martin. I don't know if they're going to get to McLaren's level. I think McLaren might have third locked already.
I
agree with Joe on this one, to be honest with you. Yeah, I mean, if you look at when McLaren made the switch, right, in about midseason last year, all they have done is continue that progression, and the car has increasingly gotten better. You have Piastri has raced every track but China on the circuit this year, so he has experience there. Lando's only getting better, and Mercedes, you can't say the same for that car. They started getting better as McLaren got better last year, and I would say we're on par in terms of how the cars were developing, and then hit a landslide over the summer, and that car is nowhere close to Mercedes at this point. So it would be, or sorry, McLaren at this point. So it would have to be a substantial jump from Lewis and George both to be. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I think McLaren has points for the two drivers locked in. I don't see Lewis or George having a 3-4 like spot separation consistently enough in the race between the McLarens for them to close that gap.
Sure. So you're saying that, yeah, you agree with Joe, the gap's too wide.
It's too wide.
Too far gone.
Too wide, yep.
So do you also, do you think that Mercedes is kind of done on this car this year?
Yeah.
You think they're giving up on this car this year?
I mean, at this point, I think they were content. They're not happy, obviously, with fourth, right? They're not going to lose fifth. Aston's not going to be able to, like, Mercedes will pull away from Aston. I fully expect that. But I just don't think.
What if Stroll can beat Lewis? You know, what if George keeps being half consistent?
That's
right?
Just not consistent. Stroll beating Lewis, like that, that's a lofty, lofty, lofty expectation.
I'm aware. Because obviously, Alonso's going to be battling that fifth, sixth, seventh spot all. all year, pretty much.
I think Alonso and George are going to fight all year long.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's going to be the kind of the battle between them. And then it's just a matter is if like Mercedes has to split the McLarens, they have to start splitting the McLarens, right? If they consistently keep finishing with Lando above George and even Lewis above Piastri, that doesn't do McLaren any good or Mercedes any good. And I just don't see George or Lewis taking the gap to consistently finish above Lando, and that's what it's going to take.
So the way I would agree or disagree is I think that Mercedes right now does not want to leave Lewis with a bad taste in his mouth when he leaves his last year. After all they brought him, I think they're going to throw everything they can into this car to make sure they can finish at least in the top three. That's where my mind's at on it.
Fair enough. Let's just take it from there. So that was obviously a new little spot there for us. Let us know if you like that, how often you want to hear the points update every other episode, every 3-4 episodes, whatever it may be. But that was kind of interesting. I liked that. Liked hearing everybody's opinions. With that, we'll just move right into our news. Heading right in, obviously the biggest news probably of our last 2 weeks, since we've been here. Alonso re-signs with Aston. Who wants to talk about that? Because that was kind of the biggest news of the last 2 weeks. Anybody excited about that or the opposite of that? Surprised that it happened?
So I kind of wanted to throw this over to Tyler because I think a couple weeks ago you didn't touch on it because you didn't want to dive into it too much, but you never expanded on it. Why did you think Alonso was going to go to Red Bull?
Because I thought that they would do... At this point, Alonso has maybe 1 to 3 years left. I think Red Bull is going to try to maximize with maybe 1 or 2 years of Alonso at the end of his prime here, pair him with Max, lock down those two, you know, that 1-2 in the standings. And then when the new regulations come out, evaluate from there. I really did. And I thought, and at the end of the day, too, it makes all the sense for Alonso. Go and chase those last couple of championships while you still have it. Get yourself in the best car. I'm honestly surprised he re-signed with Aston.
What do you think he's chasing at this point?
That's the question, because he's not going after a championship in that Aston Martin. Money.
I was about to say, is he chasing wins or is he chasing the bag? Because I think Lawrence has given him that money.
100% he's given him the money. But at this point in Alonso's career, you would like to think that he has made enough money where, if you're going to continue racing, and it's not like Red Bull's going to give him a little, granted, there's probably 15 to 20 mil difference in terms of what Aston Red Bull would pay him. Maybe that's so much. That's so much though, because you look at Max, he's rumored to have, $75 or $100 million contract. Lewis was second with like 55. Lando's at like 20 on his old deal. He's probably close to 25, 30 now. Like Alonso's probably making 20, 25 at Aston. I Checo has to be making 15, 20 a year, right? So how much would they actually lowball him comparatively? I doubt Aston's paying him 40 mil a year, and Red Bull, I think, would easily give him 20. Who are they going to replace and not pay him 20 mil a year?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It is weird that he re-signed with Aston to me. I would have thought he would have at least wanted to wait until the season was over, until there was more movement going on, just to see what would happen. Because I would imagine he was at the top of Red Bull's list, you would think.
I think it makes more sense if they keep him, if they're not going to keep Stroll. Like if you're going to bring in a rookie or somebody that he can help and kind of, guide, and kind of be a leader too.
But that, Stroll's there. I mean, where's Stroll going?
Exactly. That's where I'm saying it doesn't make sense, because unless you're bringing in, he'd be a good fit if you're bringing in a rookie driver that can watch him and learn from him. But
it makes sense for Aston. It makes all the sense in the world for Aston to retain him, because you're getting one of the top drivers on the circuit who is going to fight for those, fourth, third through sixth place finishes and is going to keep your team in the top six in the constructors by himself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right there, by himself. So when is it time to look at Stroll? Like, I know his dad, I know.
It's not going
to
happen as long as Lawrence is running the team. But that's what I mean. His team.
He wants to win a championship so damn bad. No, he doesn't. He obviously doesn't. He just wants his name out there. He's putting the brand out there. That's it, dude. He doesn't want to win a championship. That's why he's staying with what he's already doing this year. He's fine finishing whatever the hell they are right now, fifth. Like, oh, God, I'm so irritated with them, because I feel like it's just time to move on. And obviously, we know it would be hard. You're a father. If your kid was racing for you in F1, I know that's a crazy thing to think about. But, I'm sure that would be difficult, especially when you're the main supplier of the money.
How long is his contract again?
It didn't come out and say, but he came out and said it was the longest contract he's ever signed.
So 3 years we're thinking?
I would say 3 years max, because he's never been one to sign a long-term contract. He's a bouncy guy. He bounces all over.
1 year into the new regulations then? That third year would be the first year of new regulations?
I think he's banking on that
year. No, 2 years. Because it's in 3 years. He's already under contract this year, so it'd be 3, 25, 26, 27. If it's a 3-year deal.
Do you think he's banking on that, maybe? That's why he signed the longest deal ever?
Maybe he's seeing something that he's liking, like we were talking about Lewis.
Or next year's car, he might look like the develop. I don't know.
It must be the regulation.
It could be a combination of everything.
It's got to be the regulation, though, right? Because it's not. He's not definitely not seeing something next year that he's thinking, we're going to beat Red Bull.
I think Joe's right. At this point, I think all he's doing is chasing money.
I feel like he knows he's good, right? He's like, I'm still good at this
game.
He's
a two-time world champion.
I'm having fun. I've already won championships. I'm going to get out there, have fun, and make some money, you know?
And maybe that's it. He's comfortable. Yeah,
he's comfortable,
maybe. He's liking what he's doing.
To me, it's a sign that, like, if he's staying at Aston, that, like, Red Bull has their mind made up. They know who's going in, who they want, and can go into that seat. And Alonso wasn't on their top priority list, because I don't think they would have just allowed it to happen like that if it was.
Maybe they dropped the ball. I don't know. Maybe Red Bull dropped the ball for once.
That's not a very Red Bull thing to do.
I know. But at some point, the best fall. Look at Mercedes. Mm. You know, at some point, they start falling. And right before regulations, probably not, right? They probably got it on lock for the next 2 years or whatever it was, but...
I don't know. I still don't think Alonso was probably the first or best pick for Red Bull, personally.
No, I put him in the top three, probably, options, because it seems like everybody's available, so.
I guess to me, it depends on how teams are viewing what they want their future to look like. I think the regulations are going to be the big thing into play. Are there going to be teams that are just going to try to maximize next year, get exactly what they can out of a driver, and get them in the best position so they have all the money that they need going into 2026.
And just have that bridge driver like we use in the NFL, that bridge player to get you to a different point a couple years down the road, and now you have a clean slate, and now you can go out and spend money on a driver.
Exactly, because if you look at Red Bull, right, they don't need to get a veteran. They have the best veteran you can have right now in Verstappen, right? So they could afford to go with a young driver.
26 or something?
28, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. You could look at it like a young driver that might be the future, because let's be honest, like nobody knows. I don't think Verstappen knows how long he's going to race anymore. He's come out and he doesn't. I don't think he really truly cares to race anymore.
He doesn't. Have you seen the thing that he wants to be done? He wanted to be done by like a certain age, like 35.
35, I think it was his number. Sure. He's done racing. But I could see him walking away before that. You know, like obviously he loves it. He's committed.
But maybe the new regulations hit. He's like, I ain't got nothing to prove.
Yeah.
And just walks away. But you're walking away from all that money. He's already got it. I know. Endorsement deals, too. I'm sure. I'd imagine.
He signed a $100 million contract, brother. You have 1 year on that. You're set for life.
He's probably I don't know if it's king or prime minister or whatever of the Netherlands. He probably just owns the country at this point. But I don't know.
I mean, wifey don't make too much of a... She makes a little bit of money on the modeling side, too, so we don't got to worry about much of that.
Okay, hands.
Nice on the eyes, yeah?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Hands and hater over there, yeah. Okay, well, that just leads us right into the Red Bull seat, and then we'll circle back on maybe some Mercury rumors. Yeah, some Mercedes rumors. Apparently, Tyler, your boy Newey, commits to Red Bull long-term. What do you think of that news?
Yeah, so Horner came out and said that, you know, like, Newey's in the long-term plans, kind of squashed all the rumors. I don't think Newey has actually come out and said anything yet, but, like, it's squashed in terms of him going to Aston or anything like that. It's smoke season. That could be just Horner trying to squish it. It could be, but at this point, I think Newey and Verstappen are completely aligned in where they're going to go, and I think Verstappen decides where Newey's going to go. And if Verstappen's in a Red Bull next year, I think Newey's staying with Verstappen.
Man, I would love to see Newey come out with a Piastri move and say, despite rumors, I am not going with Red Bull next season.
What if he did it on Twitter, too?
That would be so good. But I think he's sticking with Red Bull. I mean, you know, he knows everyone there. He obviously can make a great car for him. They're going to give him money for it. So,
I mean, let's be honest. Where does he go that puts him in a better position for his own legacy? Now, a part of that legacy could be, I want to go somewhere, build a new team, and this is the result of me coming here is I have this established, you know, I got this team to a championship level team and I don't have Marco behind me calling the shots. But I don't think to Newey, he doesn't ever seem like he's not a guy who wants the attention, the center of anything. He's like, I don't know. He's so talented and such a genius to the sport where I'd love to see him make the move and just see another team.
But Newey, 65 years old, when does he retire? You know, when is he decided that He's built an amazing car. He's built his legacy. You know, maybe he wasn't building it from the ground up, but 65 years old.
New regulation.
Well, I think, too, I mean, Tyler said, is he looking for the legacy of building with Red Bull, or is he looking for another legacy? The issue is, other than maybe Ferrari, a lot of these teams, that's all they have to offer him. Hey, want to come rebuild everything and make a dog car, you know?
Right. And to answer, like, what you said there, Smelty, no, I think the new regulations is what's going to keep him here. Hey, this is why I'm me, right? I'm going to get these regulations. I'm going to get the best car on the grid.
Set them up
still.
For the future.
And not even that. I mean, that's a part of the legacy thing, right? You can throw the regulations at me. I'm still going to get the best car on the grid.
Yeah, no. That's a personal challenge, obviously. You're probably right. They'll look to continue that. Staying with Red Bull, I know we've already talked about this, so if you do listen to the pod, go back and listen to our other episodes. So when we talk about the Red Bull seat, see if we're actually true to our own feelings, because who knows, they probably change throughout the season. That's because everything else is changing, like Alonso just signed. So who's in that front runner? Who's that top three drivers that Red Bull are trying to coax to come over right now to be Verstappen's buddy and probably not win?
I'll throw one name out there. It's number three if it's in the top three. I think Ricciardo's still being looked. I don't think he's gone
for sure.
Yet. He's not gone yet.
For sure, but I would agree with you. He's the last.
Yeah.
He's last.
He needs a hell of a year here.
Do we see a return of another Red Bull driver?
So I think, I mean, in terms of Ricciardo would be fourth or fifth, I guess, in my opinion at this point, just because of his performance. You got Yuki in front of him. At this point, I think they give Liam Lawson a shot. Liam Lawson a shot over Ricciardo.
In the Red Bull car?
What Ricciardo's done this year. I mean, he would need a big resurgence.
I'd rather put Liam in the V car.
So I would agree with that, but then I put Yuki in the Red Bull seat over Ricciardo.
Is that I'm okay with?
So who else? We got
Sainz.
Albon.
Mm-hmm. Albon.
Yeah, Albon and Sainz, I think, are the only other two for me.
Vettel? Does he come back out?
No.
If Vettel comes back, I don't think he's coming back to a Red Bull.
That would make... I wish he
but,
would.
Oh,
that would make
love
me excited.
Seeing him and Max. Oh, my gosh.
I would love
would
to get me a couple
so
more
jaded.
Vettel cards. That would be fun.
I think if there's a wild card in there that maybe we're not seeing and we're not hearing enough about, it's Vettel.
That's a wild take. I didn't even think of that thought until you just said that, and I love that so much.
That's a wild take. I don't think we see that at all. But
no, it's wild card.
It'd be cool for like, to be that bridge player for 2 years. Checo, thanks for your service. Psh, psh, wash your hands. Vettel comes in for those one more or two more years, whatever it is. That'd be fun.
Do you think that the Mercedes seat or the Red Bull seat gets filled first?
Mercedes.
That's going to tell
you
us.
Think so?
Yeah, because well, at the end of the day, like we said earlier, everybody's counting Checo out. If Checo finishes second and it's a wide margin between that Ferrari that's going to finish third, how can Red Bull not give him the spot? Even if it's just for next year, and then you look at what happens next year with the driver's grid, you get the new driver for the regulations.
Yep. If they don't go with Checo, where does Checo go? Who actually takes a chance on Checo, or is everybody else looking young right now? Is Red Bull Checo's only hope to stay in F1? And if they don't sign him, that's a travesty to let his career end like that when he was doing so well and at the quote, top of his game, probably for Checo, but
does he want to stay with Red Bull? You think? Does he want to stay racing F1?
I think ultimately that's what it's going to come down to, Cole. If he wants to stay in F1, I think it's Red Bull, or he's not going to race in F1 anymore. Because at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to go to a car that's inferior to Red Bull and want to continue racing after you've been in that Red Bull, after you went through the weeds with Alpine. You know. I don't know. I mean, that'd be interesting, I guess, because he does have a family. He has kids that he wants to spend time with. He's getting on the older side. Is a team going to give him a shot like a Sauber taking on a Valtteri Bottas?
So it's funny you mentioned Bottas because he went from Merck to Alfa Romeo and wide margin there, right? But you make a good point. I don't think he has, you know, that family. I don't think he has kids. I know he has a partner, but I don't think he has the kids like Checo does. So yeah, maybe it's, you know, it's this or nothing. I personally think Red Bull have him in, like, their top two. I think he's still very much in the running for that seat, at least for next year, and then maybe a change in regulations. But if he's getting them second place, why wouldn't they keep him on?
Joe, who's your top three?
My top three? Man, Checo, Albon, and Sainz. I want Sainz in that seat.
I want
so
Sainz
bad.
In the seat.
I'd love to see that.
If not Sainz, I want Albon. I think if you were to ask me at the start of the season, I wanted Danny, but... Danny is just not proving to be well.
I love the idea of Sainz. But the tough thing for me, I think right now, obviously I'm not a huge Red Bull fan. I don't hide behind that, right? I don't love Red Bull. Hater of Red Bull. But the kicker with that is, I think with Sainz, he still doesn't win a driver's championship with Max. So like, it's like the worst of both evils.
So you're saying you don't think Carlos would want to go to Red Bull maybe because of that?
No, I'm not saying that. I still think he's happy with taking second. Like, I still think if he's in Red Bull next year and Red Bull does...
still making money.
And if he's doing, like, if Red Bull does what they did the last couple of years, I think he's still finishing second because he's so good. But I think at the end of the day, like, how much team orders, how much, like, are they just going to let them fight? Because that could be a fight.
I don't think there would be a lot of team orders, to be honest with you. Because Max is not one that wants or likes team orders even. You know, he wants a race.
He likes them when they're in his favor, though.
But the thing about that, if you look back to when Danny, Rick, and Max were teammates, there was a consecutive weekends where the team orders came into play and Max passed Danny, got the win when Danny could have done it because of the strategy. The following weekend, Danny's car was breaking down. Danny was ahead of them getting the win, got team orders to drop back. Max told them no 4 times and did not pass Danny to let him get the win because of what happened the prior week.
Old Max. Let's look at the last 2 years with him and Checo. It's a completely different story. I am not doing that for Checo. He said that to Checo. You know, I'm not doing that. No, you don't ask me to do that again. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about old school.
Yeah, that's true.
You're talking about old school when he was with Ricardo. That was a different Max. That was a Max a lot of people liked, I think. Because he was like, you know, it's like, listen, I'm new to the industry. I'm new to doing this race and stuff. Not new to the racing stuff, obviously. But
that also goes to say, that's also the point where Max just wants to race. Whoever's the better driver, whoever's the quicker driver gets the spot.
I think honestly, so I'm going to put something out in front of you. If they are close at the end of the season, let's say they are neck and neck in points in the final race, and they're both racing an amazing race, but Sainz is a lot faster than Max. You think they're pulling Sainz off there to not let Max win and get the next championship?
I think you got to shut up and let him race at that point. Nobody says nothing.
I think Max's ego would get in the way and would not want to win the championship that way.
No shot, dude. I think he's putty-footing around everything next year. If he's with Sainz and Sainz is winning races over him, we're going to see a different Max. We're going to see the real Max next year if he's with Sainz. And Sainz is winning races just on pure talent and not just...
I don't see it, man. I think Max would accept that Sainz is going to be and would just try to get better. I don't think he would go and try to get team orders. I really don't see that out of Max.
I feel like that's definitely and probably not a conversation for right now, but will Max, like, how will Max react knowing that he's now under pressure? Like, I feel like he's been having it easy. Is he going to start complaining more? Like, will he start kind of, you know, messing up a little bit more because he's got someone fighting him? Obviously, there's no doubt he's an amazing driver. He got where he is because he's an amazing driver. But if he's not winning consistently, you know, does that temper start to flare more? Does he start hitting people off track? Does he hit himself off track? Like, I think when he and Lewis were fighting really, really hard, he didn't have any championships under his belt at that point. But now he's got something to lose.
Yeah, I think
that's a good point.
I think the true Max will show up if he's battling somebody that can beat him week in and week out. I think the true Max will show up. That true Max, I'll throw this out there. I know I've been a hater of Max a lot. That true Max might be even better than he is right now. Let's not forget about that. Like, he could be just so much more of a dog on the track when he's got pressure. Because when he had the pressure when he was newer coming on, I mean, he did perform. So just because he's been here and doing it and it's been easy doesn't mean that he doesn't have that dog in him.
But the only thing with that, too, though, is we have to remember who the two are that are calling shots at Red Bull are. It's Christian Horner and Helmut Marko. You think Helmut gives a who Max Verstappen is if Sainz is going to win a championship?
No, but I think Horner does.
I don't. I think Horner would put that. I don't. I think Horner would be, whoever's the better driver would be, is going to be the better driver.
And Horner's Max's second dad by blood.
I get that. They're like definitely, that's definitely his boy, but.
Like Red Bull energy drink in their veins.
I just don't see it out
homie.
Of Max. I really don't.
I got one more name to throw at you. I got.
not at all.
Max lover, Max hater. I got one more name to throw at you, and actually from Kev, whom I didn't introduce at the beginning of the show, so my bad. He does everything behind the scenes, so thanks, Kev.
Ones and twos.
No, that's NFL. He does the lug nuts. Wait, nope, that's not good. So let's just move on. Thanks, Kev. So anyway, Kev said, do you think there's a way to obtain Oliver Bierman for that spot?
No, is
that
no
a,
shot.
Is that
no.
a,
too early, no too shot. Soon?
Yeah, way too soon.
Sorry, Kev. I thought no I, shot. You know, put it out there for you, but
that's not one of those seats where you can just jump into. Like, obviously, the Red Bull had that thing a couple years ago where they had I'm blanking on the name. They had Albon and
Gasly
jump in that seat. They learned from that. They're not going to do that again. They want veterans right now. Maybe when the rebuild or something is downticking, right now they're like, okay, we can win. Let's win. Let's get the right people in the seat. They're not taking a chance at all.
There's two, maybe three teams on the grid right now that are not going to have a rookie go into their spot. Ferrari, Red Bull, maybe Mercedes. We'll see with Kimi. They're
so
just
real, so real quick, who gets that Mercedes seat next year? 100% right now. Who's getting that Mercedes seat?
It's so wild because it's like, to me, it's, where's Sainz going to go? Mm-hmm. Is he going to Mercedes? Is he going to Red Bull? Is he going to throw a wrench in every
option?
Is he not for him? He can go wherever the hell he wants.
I know, but like,
but it's like, so where he goes, like, and he could throw a huge wrench and say, hey, I want to turn Alpine around. Be silly, but it's like he obviously that won't happen. But you look at it like it, that's going to be so interesting for what Mercedes, if they want to go to the future, they get Kimi. But I think Behrman's a shoe-in for that hot seat.
Is Kimi coming in immediately, like next year? You'd think no matter, he could come in if they can't land like a Sainz, and maybe your option is Albon instead or something. They think they'd go with Kimi?
I think if Kimi's not in F1 next year with Mercedes, he would have to have an atrocious F2 season next year if he's in F2 next year and not a reserve driver for him not to be in a different team the following year. And Mercedes will not make that mistake and let somebody walk, like the whole, like letting Verstappen to Red Bull. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kimi is so highly touted that he will not make it another year.
So around that, do you think that the biggest news we'll hear is not who goes first as far as Red Bull and Mercedes, but it's actually whose Sainz picks?
Yep.
I mean, I think if Red Bull gives him the seat, he's going to take Red Bull. I think it's just if Mercedes. So I think, listen, I think Mercedes wants Sainz, and I think Sainz wants Red Bull. And I don't know if Red Bull's going to give Sainz the seat, so he might have to fall back on Mercedes. But if Mercedes offers it to him first,
right,
is he waiting for that Red Bull seat to be offered, or is he just taking Mercedes?
And then what? You don't get it? Then what?
Yeah. So is Ferrari kind of, obviously they've had a downtick. But let's look at Ferrari for a second here. They're filled up, obviously, but they've had this, like, people want to go to Ferrari because it's Ferrari. Has Lewis helped build up the Mercedes where some of these top dogs like Sainz wants to go to Mercedes to carry on that title and try to win a championship there now?
I don't think drivers of this caliber care that much about that. And it's more so, where is it going to give them the best chance to win? I think that's more of a fan thing than like the drivers when you get to the ultimate pinnacle of the sport.
Fair.
I would maybe even revise it that I think it's more in this day and age that probably doesn't happen as easy as it did, you know, in the Michael Schumacher era. Especially now that we see Lewis had his 7 years, right? And now it's 3 consistent years of the Mercedes being not great. I just think it's, you know.
The more I think about it, I think it's Albon to Mercedes. Albon to Red Bull. Albon to Red Bull, and I think it's Sainz to Mercedes. That's where I'm thinking right now.
Or swap. I think it's the swap. For some reason, my gut's telling me Albon to Mercedes for whatever reason. Ooh, I don't know.
I haven't heard that like, at all. That's interesting.
That's me. But like, I think Carlos has a better chance at going into the Red Bull and then Albon to Mercedes. But I don't know if that's the right move. But
does Vettel come back at all?
So I want.
No,
is he
rumored to come back? Where are you?
Yeah, he's
are you just
talking,
pulling this out of
comments.
Your?
He's been talking. He says he wants to go racing again, but I don't know.
So it's
he'd
when
only
you
do,
said
he'd
that,
only go to a top three team.
I don't necessarily
top
agree.
Four if you're talking
he
about Mercedes,
to, brother. He went to Alfa Romeo after Ferrari.
I know, and they were atrocious.
So, but it's interesting you bring that up because I think that plays a big part. You look at a Mercedes spot. You got Vettel, who's a German guy. Mercedes, obviously, a German brand. Like, when was the last time Mercedes had a German driver? Schumacher?
No.
Was Nico
Rosberg,
German?
Yeah. Wasn't he?
Rosberg,
yeah.
German?
I'm pretty sure he was.
I'll do a quick fact check, but I think that's
right. And that was, what, 2016 German. Or something? 2017? I can't remember when he won, but.
He's German, that, yeah.
Okay. I don't think the determining factor is around Vettel, obviously. I think it'd be awesome to see him back in the sport, but I think, like we talked about earlier, I think it's Sainz. I think, honestly, I know you said it's, you know, he wants to go to Red Bull, but he might not have that. I think he's got a pick of the litter right now, and he's just determining where he wants to go.
I would agree with that. I think Sainz goes where Sainz wants to go. Even if there's not an active offer on the table, per se, from Red Bull, but Mercedes gives him an offer, if Sainz has any sort of good management, they're going to let Red Bull know that if he wants, or whatever I said, vice versa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If he wants his intentions to go there, like, you... If I'm Carlos Sainz and Mercedes offers me 20 million, it's obviously more, it would be more than that. I go to Red Bull and say, hey, Mercedes just offered me 20 mil. Give me 25. You don't even need to. You match the offer, I come to you because you got
his
car.
His brother's good at that too. I mean, obviously he got Sainz's brother is the one is his manager. No, I'm thinking of Carlos Sainz.
Carlos Sainz is Sainz's brother.
Sainz's cousin. It's his cousin. How you doing that? I think. But yeah, family member is a
manager. Yeah, he's the one that's his manager, right? Mm-hmm. He, I mean, he got him in the Red Bull seat. I wouldn't be surprised if he can get him in, you know, one of those other top dog seats.
And Horner's come out and even said, like, with how Sainz, like, has commented on Sainz's performance and said that there was another former driver or, like, a driver, a part of the Red Bull driving system, whatever it was, because he drove for, I don't even know, it was Toro Rosso at that time.
Toro Rosso, and his dad is a rally Red Bull driver. It makes sense. Why wouldn't he want to go?
His dad was a multiple rally champion. An absolute dog.
He still Sainz? Races.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's an absolute dog.
It's a match made in heaven. He either goes to Red Bull or Audi down the line. And I think I think more than money, he wants a chance to win the championship. Even if Max is your driving partner, Red Bull is the car to do that in right now.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Audi, like at that point, it's like, what do you really want, Sainz? Do you want a championship or do you want money? Audi's going to give him the money, but I don't think a team that's brand new that's coming in will not compete for a championship. Mm-hmm. Will not.
Real quick before we move on, because we absolutely have to move on. But if you're Sainz right now. Do you want to hurry up and make that decision so it's done and over so you can actually focus on this season and finish this season out strong, focused and all that, and then, you know, hop in the next seat next year? What?
He's focused. I mean, look at his last couple
races. Professional, but
I don't think it affects anything for him behind the car.
Me neither.
He's proven something right now.
So he's just waiting.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Let's head right into the China preview. All right, heading right into the China preview. Just want to remind all of our listeners out there, the millions that listen to us, just want to make sure, like, you know, obviously our recaps going to be the longest part of the segment, so that's why our previews are so short, because we're going to recap that son of a gun anyway. So let's head right into it. Joe's got some China Grand Prix facts for us.
Yeah, this is the first China race in 5 years, so I don't have a last year recap. I did, you know, scrounge up a few things to talk about instead. Just for, you know, memory's sake, 2019, we saw Hamilton, Bottas, and then Vettel in that podium. This track is a 56-lap track. It's designed to look like the Chinese symbol for Shang, which means upwards when seen from the air. And this also features one of the longest straights in the calendar, so I think that seems kind of like a buffet for some Red Bulls. I think we're going to see hopefully some nice overtakes this coming weekend.
That portion is so fun in the track in the game. Mm. It's just a dead straight.
Oh, yeah. It's a great track. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to maybe staying up until 2 a.m. local time. So we'll see if maybe I just catch the recorded version the day after. Since the last China GP, we saw Hamilton add a 6th and 7th world title. We saw Max take 3 of those in a row. Racing Point became Aston Martin. Renault became Alpine. Alpha became Kick Sauber. And Toro Rosso became AlphaTauri and then RB. And then we saw Kimi Raikkonen and Vettel retire, as well as Alonso return from retirement. 5 years, a lot of stuff happening within those 5 years. Only 4 drivers on the grid have not raced here yet. It's our you know, rookies from the last few years, Oscar, Yuki, Logan, and Joe, which is his first home race.
Real quick, I thought I saw somewhere that Michael Schumacher's last win also came in China. Does anybody know that? I thought I saw somewhere that was the case, but anyway, I mean, pretty fast track though. What are we looking for this week? Are we looking for, I mean, I'd imagine we see the McLarens finish in front of both Mercedes again. I could also see Alonso splitting the Mercedes again. Lewis just doesn't look like he can quite keep up with Alonso right now.
When's the last time there's been this big of a gap for that they've raced a track? Last time was 2019, right?
Yeah, 2019. Yeah.
So when's the last time there was this big of a gap? Because I think that's gonna. I think this might play to the seniority of a lot of these guys, like Lewis and all those guys that have been here a while. Yeah, there's rookies who haven't raced it at all, but I mean, there's also guys who've only raced it a couple of years.
Right. No, I think that's gonna be a massive factor. I don't know. It's gotta be one of the biggest gaps. You don't think so?
I don't think it's going to be
With all the simulators now?
That's the thing, is I don't think it's going to be that big of a factor just because of the new age sims. It's you're in your car driving on that track exactly like it is.
So it looks like that was Schumacher's 91st and final F1 victory. Guess who he beat? The drivers in this race.
Lewis. Fernando.
Fernando.
Mm. Interesting.
I don't know. Fun little tidbit. Maybe Fernando goes off. He's not beating no Red Bulls, but... Can we see a Ferrari get two this week? Beat Sergio. You don't think so? I mean, that was a great bounce back race by Sergio.
I just think that with how fast this track is, I just don't see anybody with the Red Bulls being 1-2.
Does anybody challenge the Ferraris?
No.
McLaren's got pretty good top line speed, though, no?
They do, but it's like...
But Ferrari's is so much better this year than compared to what it was last year, though.
I don't think they're going to touch them. I was just pointing out the McLaren fans saying that they're going to stand behind their boys here on this one.
It turns out they didn't.
I mean, it's just...
But that's good. We know they're not giant freaking homers.
Listen, I'm trying to be realistic as I can. Yeah. I want McLaren to win the whole thing, but that's, you know, I got to be a little realistic.
We're
not playing video games here.
There's just such a big gap even between the Ferrari and the McLaren right now.
Yeah.
It's not a fun year so far with, action. It's just like,
I think we see one or both Haas in points this week. And when I say both, I'm saying 9-10. I'm saying 9-10.
No, hey, no shot, right? Maybe 10. I could see him in 10. I could see him take a 10, but... Not 9-10.
I said one or both, so I guess I got to pick one, right? But
yeah.
So at least one.
I could see Albon taking a 9-10 this week.
Yeah, that's
within the Williams.
Albon. Oh, yeah.
But both Haas is in the top 10. That's...
I think you'll see Yuki battling right there again, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. That V-carb doesn't have great top-end speed.
No, I don't. I think so. I'll agree.
Yuki's...
It's going to be Haas and Williams, I think, with Albon fighting there for the 9-10.
Because Haas's top-line speed isn't horrible.
And
They're not going to beat no Aston, you know, but...
And Williams is good. This might hurt Aston, I think.
It all depends on Alonso. I mean, it's like it is every week. It's like Stroll's probably not going to finish in the top 10. So it's like, is Alonso going to grab another 5-6?
I think we see him down towards the 8 this week. I think he's 8th this week.
This might be where Mercedes starts to kind of break away a little bit.
Start going away, yeah.
But Mercedes, I mean, they don't got any top-end speed. Well, the Mercedes actually has the top-end speed. Their top-end speed in their DRS is actually effective.
George hasn't looked horrible with DRS.
They just lose everything in the corners. They have no low-end speed or high-end corner speed. But they lose everything in the corners.
But that's what I mean. Lewis just hasn't looked comfortable in the car, like, at all to me.
But
when is he going to figure it out? That's what it is for me. George, like, is just inconsistent AF, but... I think he's getting there. He's got the skill. I think he does, but he just seems so inconsistent.
He definitely looks more comfortable in the Mercedes.
Who, George?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Compared to like last year, 100%.
Or just compared to completely
previous
Hamilton,
years in general. But compared to Hamilton, 100%.
I think Hamilton, with his seniority knowing this track, it's going to be a thing here for him. And I also think that we're talking about the McLaren and the Mercedes battle there. I think we're going to see a Mercedes McLaren finish this race.
Whoa. So you think George or Lewis is going to finish above Lando?
Whoa. Yes.
That's a hot take.
Whoa. I do not think so.
Cap.
No. Joe says cap. Well, with that then, what's your podium then?
My podium, I'm going to go with Verstappen.
Science, hot take.
Science. Yeah, science and Leclerc.
Oh, snap. Ooh,
Red Bull, Ferrari.
Oh, snap.
We know something's going to go wrong with Checo out there. Come on. It's been too many races in a row.
Joe, who's your podium?
Podium's going to be Max, Checo, and I'm going to go with Leclerc this week.
Boom, Tyler, podium.
I'm gonna be boring. Same as last week. I got Verstappen, Checo, and Science.
Okay. Well, and I got nothing to lose, so I'm going to go with Max, of course. That at least gives me something. I'm going to go Leclerc and Lando.
Yikes.
I want you to be right, man.
I want you to be right, too.
I know. He said yikes.
For those keeping score at home, the reason Smeltzy has nothing to lose is he is bringing up the rear at 5 points, then followed by Cole at 6 points. I have had 7, and Joe is still in the lead with 8. So one point difference between all spots.
What am I doing taking chances like that?
The sergeant of the podium track.
But that's the thing, though.
Oh, dude.
No, that's not fair. You have to have 0 points for that
to be
killer.
Right. You know what your new nickname is?
He hasn't crashed and burned yet.
That's true.
His new nickname is Bully.
You're just out there wrecking the score, dude.
Carnage.
I mean, let's be honest. 4 of your 5 points have come from Verstappen.
It's a safe bet, homie.
I mean,
so of all you guys, is get off my case.
I think our podium tracker is already lined with Verstappen's every single week. So.
Right, right.
Yeah, I may not have updated that yesterday.
I noticed that.
I will be going off of that at least a couple of races this year. I'll be getting crazy. Mm.
No, okay.
I gotta see a lot for me to not take Verstappen.
I have at least one. I also
he might need to get
track.
His appendix removed.
There we go. Well, with that, we're gonna go ahead and no, that was horrible. I was gonna say no, never mind. So with that, let's just wrap it up here. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube is the big one. Please go subscribe on YouTube for us. And with that, we will go ahead. Do we have a show next week, Kev? Nope. No, maybe not. No, Joe says no, so we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Next race, Miami, I see, I
yes,
think.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we will not be there.
Coming back to the homeland, though.
We'll be live.
Why do we talk like that
from
in our homeland?
Basements.
We're done. See y'all in 2 weeks.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.